to me, say, this is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. So, Lord, as I share the word today, I thank you that what you have put in my heart to share, our hearts are ready, our minds will be receptive. And, Lord, as we hear the word, faith is going to come. And, Lord, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus, no weapon formed against this word is going to prosper. And I thank you for putting a deposit inside of our heart so our faith can grow, so that we can live lives that are more than conquerors. And Lord, we thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders following your word, because you always watch over it to perform it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen, amen, amen. Well, God bless you this morning. I'm in a series right now entitled Divine Momentum. Everybody say divine momentum. Divine momentum, from stagnation to acceleration. If you have some areas in your life that need to move, all you need to do is exercise these principles that I'm teaching you. And that's one of the reasons I teach principles, because principles never change. They are consistent. And if you want to live a successful life, all you need to do is live a principled life. Say amen to that. And so our prophetic theme for the year, of course, is a year of momentum. And so we've been teaching along that topic. And so for the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've been talking about creating momentum with your money. And so our focus has been really understanding the power of a seed. And so this week, if you're taking notes, as a matter of fact, if you need a copy of the notes, just raise your hand and our ushers will give those to you. But if you're taking notes this week, our topic is management impacts your financial momentum. I know it's a long topic, but management or stewardship impacts your financial momentum. Everybody say management. Yes. Impacts. Yes. My financial momentum. See, God has given us the ability to manage. He's put us in a position of stewardship. And a steward is just a person who manages the things of others. And although giving to God first is the first step in the direction of stewardship, or what I'm going to call positive financial momentum, what we do a lot of times is we allow what we have left to be our first step. You may be saying, well, what do you mean, Pastor Evan? See, giving, everybody say giving. Giving and managing what you keep also impacts the way you reap. I'm going to say that again. Managing what you keep, in other words, what's left over after you give to God first. Managing what you keep impacts the way you reap. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I'm going to show you in principle what that means today, because I believe that if you will get a hold of this stewardship, this management principle, then your life is going to go up, because God is a God of stewardship. Now, I have a new definition of momentum, because we're talking about financial momentum. Financial momentum is when the direction of your money is moving in a profitable direction. I'm going to say that again. Financial momentum is when the direction of your money is moving in a profitable direction. See, if you're, how many business owners we have in the room? Business owners? See, you like to see your business go in a profitable direction. What does that mean? That means in a direction where you're in the black, a direction where you are prospering, in a direction where you have more left over than what you spent. Say amen to that. So what we're going to do this morning is use the story where Jesus fed over 5,000 people. And this is one of the stories we started our series out with. So what I'm going to do is read John chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, I'm going to read it out of the King James Version, and then I'm going to turn around and just read a few verses out of another version. And the whole point of me reading this is I want to highlight why stewardship can take our lives to new levels. So it says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him. He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to Philip to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Verse 7. Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworths worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take just a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? You ever thought about that when your bills come and your paycheck came at the same time? Verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number of how many, church? 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed the loaves and the fish to his disciples, and the disciples to those who sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were all filled, they were what? They were all filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments. Here's what the focus we want to talk about right here. Watch what he says to them. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And so they gathered them together, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now listen to the ERV translation of verses 12 and 13. It says, and they all had plenty to eat. How much did they have to eat? They all had plenty to eat. And when they had finished, Jesus said to his disciples or his followers, gather the pieces of fish and bread that were not eaten. Don't waste what? Don't waste anything. So they gathered up the pieces that were left, and the people had started eating with only 5 loaves of bread, but the followers filled 12 large baskets with the pieces of food that were left. So here's what I want you to see. He said, gather the pieces of fish and bread that were not eaten. Don't waste anything. And that's stewardship. Here it is, Jesus performed a miracle. It's not like he can't produce more of where this came from. But why do you think Jesus decided to tell them, go and pick up what wasn't eaten? In other words, leftovers. Go get it so nothing will be wasted. So here's a take-home thought. Everybody say, How we treat what we keep has a great impact on how we reap. I'm gonna say it again. How we treat what we keep has a great impact on how we reap. See, most people think that good financial stewardship starts when they give to God first, and that's true. But good stewardship, everybody say good stewardship. Good financial stewardship doesn't end with our giving to God first. It includes the management of how we live. If that wasn't the case, Jesus just would have let whatever had was there, he would just let it be there. So that says to us, if he was concerned about what was left over and what to do with it, you and I need to be concerned about what's left over and what we should do with that. Say amen to that. So I only have 2 points this morning. Here's the first one. Stewardship is expected for increase to be manifested. I'm going to say it again. Stewardship, everybody say stewardship. Stewardship means management. Stewardship is expected for increase to be manifested. In other words, listen, God expects us to properly manage what we have before more will be given. I'm going to say that again. God expects us to properly manage what we have, watch this, before more will be given. Proverbs 27:23 says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks. and look well to your herds. The ESV version says, know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. See, that may not make a lot of sense to you, but if you were a herdsman, it would make a lot of sense. You know why? Because flocks and herds to a cattle rancher represented money. And that's why shepherds watched over their sheep even at nighttime. Why? To keep the wolves and the predators out. Because every sheep or every goat that was taken by a wolf is now money taken away from that shepherd. Matthew chapter 18 verse 12 says this, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? If he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than the 99 that didn't wander away. Watch this, verse 14. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. Now, this parable is talking about or giving reference to sheep being compared to souls. But the question is, how could the shepherd even know that one of his sheep were missing if he didn't have a system where he could count them? In other words, you have a shepherd who has 100 sheep. One of them wanders away. How would that shepherd know if he didn't have some system in place where he was counting on a regular basis to know that one was missing? And I think that's what happens with us. We have sheep dollars that are leaking and we can't even account for it. How well, touch your neighbor and say, he's about to talk to you right now. How well do you keep up with and properly spend what you have left over after you give to the Lord? You may say, well, why is that important, Pastor Edmund? Well, it's important because we're considered stewards, and stewards or managers are required to be faithful. Do you know God is expecting us to be faithful with what he has given us to manage? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us what the position of a steward should be. It says, moreover, it is required. Say required. It's required. This is a requirement. Just like in school, you can't get to Algebra 2 until you've taken Algebra 1. Right? He's saying it's required, if you are a steward, that a person be found what, church? Faithful. In other words, we're required to properly manage the resources we have. And here's something I'm about to say that's real good. And when proper management is not exercised, listen, promotion is not recognized. I'm going to say that again. When proper management is not exercised, promotion will not be recognized. See, that's pretty deep right there. So some of us can get a raise starting tomorrow if we better manage what we have today. Amen. Luke chapter 19 verse 17 shows us that proper management has to be exercised in order for promotion to be recognized. It says in verse 17 of Luke 19:17, it says, Jesus said, well done, thou good servant. Watch this. You have been faithful in how much? Very little. And because of that, he says, you can have now authority over 10 cities. Listen to the Amplified. And he said to them, well done, good servant. Because you have proved yourself faithful and trustworthy in a very little thing, you shall now have authority over 10 cities in my kingdom. Do you see that God connects stewardship with increase? Do you see that God looks at our stewardship to determine our promotion? Well, many people never connect their ability to manage big things, watch this, with their responsibility of managing little things. I'm going to say that again. Many people never connect their ability to manage big things, because we all want the big things. God calls the big check to come. Well, you know what you're going to do with that big check? The same thing you did with that little check, right? Many people never connect their ability to manage big things with their responsibility to manage little things. Which brings us to point number two, and that is proper management causes promotion, while improper management, watch this, causes demotion. Now, I don't know about anybody who has bragged about being demoted. Everybody brags about being promoted, right? Nobody brags about being demoted. But see, in the kingdom, proper management is what promotes us, while improper management really causes us to be demoted. And Luke chapter 19, verse 11 is going to show us this. And while I'm talking about this, I want you to survey in your mind what your stewardship level is in wherever you are in your life. Why? I don't know about you, but I want to see God position me for me to receive more. But that's only going to start with what I'm doing with now. Do you know that I don't believe God would have grown Word of Truth Family Church from 22 people from how we started to where we are today if I wasn't faithful with the assignment and the souls that he brought here? Amen. He's no different in your life. And I'm going to show you here in just a second that your promotion is not tied to man. It's actually tied to God. Luke chapter 19, verse 11 says this. The crowd was listening to everything Jesus said. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, by the way. And because he was nearing Jerusalem, he told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away. Verse 12. Jesus said, a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for while I'm gone. But his people hated him. And so they sent a delegation after him to say, we do not want him to be our king. After he was crowned king, he returned and called in the servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. The first servant reported, Master, I've invested your money and I made how much, church? 10 times the original amount. What was Jesus' response, or what was the king's response in verse 17? What did he say, those two words? Everybody say, well done. Well done, the king explained. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with little that I entrusted to you, so you will be governor over 10 cities as your reward. Watch verse 18. Then the next servant reported and said, Master, I invested your money and I made 5 times the original amount. What's the next two words he said? Everybody say, well done. He said, well done, the king said. You will be governor over 5 cities. But the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, Master, I hid your money and I kept it safe. Now, let me just stop right here, because many people do this when they go to work. Many people go to work not to grow their job, but to just manage their job. See, in this case, the king wasn't just looking for mere management. He was actually looking for these people to increase what he gave them. And I'm telling you that if you want promotion from God, you need to increase what has been given to you. Say amen to that. So verse now 21, he says, I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with, taking what isn't yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant. Watch his response to the servant. He says, you wicked servant, the king roared. Your own words condemn you. If you knew that I was a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvests crops I didn't plant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then, turning to the others standing nearby, the king ordered, he said, take the money from this servant. Does that sound like a promotion or demotion? He said, take the money from this servant, watch this, and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. But Master, they said, he already has 10 pounds. Yes, the king replied, and to those, watch this, church, who use well or manage well what they are given, even more will be given. Now, does that sound like promotion or demotion? That sounds like promotion. He said, but from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away from them. Wow. So we can see from a kingdom perspective, God is expecting us to grow with what he gives us. He expects us to manage well. Everybody say manage well. He expects us to manage well what has been put in front of us. And the sad thing is, most people, especially believers, this is one of the principles that you and I can live by. Watch this. This is going to sound country. That will leapfrog us over other people. Say leapfrog. See, here's the deal. There are principles that you and I can live by that will promote us and move us up faster than people that's in the world. See, don't get caught up with, you know, people in the world and them not doing what you do and be like, they prospering though. You know, like, they don't tithe and they prospering. They don't give to the Lord. They don't even go to church. And they got a new car and a new house. Well, listen, don't do that. Let me tell you why. Because the devil is their master. And he can give riches to whoever he wants to. That's what he tried to get Jesus to do. He says, if you'll just bow down and worship me, Jesus, I'll give you all of what you can see. So don't think that people in the world have it made. No, the devil is just going to give. Listen, you can sell your soul. The Bible says, what does it gain a man if he gains the world and loses what? So don't worry about people in the world. But see, if believers, if you get this, one of the quickest ways to promotion, watch this, is actually being faithful over somebody else's stuff. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 in the King James says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in what? In much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous money or mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? Watch this. Here's verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Listen to the New Living Translation. This is good. And then I'm going to show you something that you may not have ever seen. He says, if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful over what? Large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Here's the part. And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be entrusted with the things of your own? So watch this, church. How you and I care for the things of others will cause God to promote us with the things of our own. I'm going to say that. How many work for somebody else? Let me see if you. Okay, so watch this. So I'm talking to the majority of people in the room. How you and I care for the things of others will cause God to promote us with the things of our own. And unfortunately, most people do this backwards. And this is why their increase, listen, and their promotion lies in the hands of men. Because this principle that I'm telling you, where you work hard and you do so with somebody else's stuff and then God will give you your own, most people operate that backwards. And this is why their promotion is lying in the hands of man. In other words, what I'm saying is most people don't have God's favor for him to use man to promote them because we honor men more than we honor him. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart, it's in the hands of the Lord as the rivers of water, and the Lord will turn it whatsoever way he will. Listen to the New Living Translation. The king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases. In other words, promotion does not come from man. It starts with God. And this is why you can be promoted in the midst of a mess. Because if you're pleasing God, he's going to make sure he promotes you. But see, what we do, we don't start the process out with God. Let's take the $20 that I gave that young lady. Most people would take money, God, I got some more money. And instead of honoring God with first of it, and then just obey scripture. Just obey scripture. When you do that, now it's like, okay, I've honored God. But most people, they don't do that. They either honor man or they honor themselves. I said, well, I'll give God something if I got something left. The problem is our faithfulness is being examined by God with every financial transaction we make. Amen. This is why promotion, it doesn't come from man. It comes from God. Why? Because God in our lives, he's looking at our stewardship levels, and that stewardship level is what determines if he promotes us. Then what he does, he puts it on the hearts of men to do what that is. Psalm 75, 6 says, for promotion comes neither from the east or the west. It doesn't come from Microsoft. It doesn't come from wherever you work, AT&T. No, it doesn't come from the west nor from the south. But God is what? He's the judge. What is God judging? He's judging my faithfulness. So, my question is, what are you doing with what God has given you? How are you treating your husband? Oh, touch your neighbor and say, he coming. He's coming. How you treating him? Are you so familiar with that man that you forget that there are other women out there in the world? All of me are scared to say amen. They're like, oh. Why was that man a blessing to you when you first married him? And now he seems like he's a curse to you. He can't do nothing right. Now, you know I'm an equal opportunity pastor, right? You know that, right? You know what that means. I'm going to say the same thing on the other side. How are you treating that woman, man of God? Why does she feel like her life was better without you than it is with you? Some of y'all saying, well, she deceived, Pastor. So, men, if favor comes, and let me just say, not all your favor, because, you know, First Lady, she'll use that. She's like, don't forget, I'm your favor from God. Whatever that new thing is, right? And I'm like, I ain't gonna forget, but I had favor before I met you now. But watch this though. I do believe there's another layer of favor that happens in your life when you find a wife. Watch this though. But just like I obtain that favor when I get a wife, I sustain that favor by how I treat my wife. Okay, let's put this in perspective. You're on your job and you don't like it. What's amazing is you're working at a place you picked. Touch your neighbor and say, boy, that's interesting. No. You picked that place. Nobody like arrested you to take that job, like under arrest, take the job. No, you took that job. You said, well, Pastor, things have changed. The people have changed. The situations have changed. I get that. I know all those things have changed, but the God that sent you there didn't. So I have to treat this job like I'm working for God. I can't treat this job like I'm working for man, because if I do that, I might get arrested. See, when favor starts with God, the sky becomes the limit. But when favor starts with man, their sky becomes my limit. See, this is why when you operate in what I'm teaching you right now, you're unstoppable. Amen. Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus said, with men, it's impossible. But not with God. Everybody say with God. But with God, how many things become possible? All things become possible. So the goal, as I steward my way through, because the problem with church people is we want God to be a genie. We want to put our prayers in a microwave, turn in on the number of minutes we are willing to wait, and then open the door and expect God to produce what we want, even if he don't want it for us right now. But see, I've discovered that they that wait upon the Lord, those are the ones that shall renew their strength. Even when you get tired and you're weary, the Bible said, be not weary in well doing, because due season is coming if you don't faint. And so people who've learned to wait on the Lord, listen, their strength gets renewed. You come to you about to let it go. Lord, I tell you, I'm waiting on this man or I'm waiting on this woman, and you hanging on like a thread, and then you come to church and get renewed. You was about to go back to the old world. Come on now. No, don't. Let me say this. The world's way, as easy as it is and as good as it feels, would never be God's way. Sometimes we get short memories. We get spiritual amnesia when we get saved. Because you forgot. I'm talking to some married people. You forgot what it was like being single. Come on now. You got all these apps. Swipe left, swipe right. And nowadays, you getting catfished. You don't even know it. You thought it was a lady. You was talking to AI the whole time. Oh, my God, this is AI. No, y'all see that show, Catfish? No, that's for real. So how do we apply today? Because I want it to be spiritual enough for it to impact your heart. But I want it to be practical enough so you can examine what you're doing. Because not only does every dollar count, every decision you make with that dollar counts. So how do we apply it? Well, first of all, when we're talking about stewardship, number one, you got to make Mr. Budget your friend and not your enemy. How many know who Mr. Budget is? Mr. Budget, you got to make him your friend. Don't make him your enemy. You say, that's why y'all, how many don't like Mr. Budget? Be honest, Mr. Budget, how many don't like him? Yeah. How many don't know who Mr. Budget is? Raise your hand if you don't know who Mr. Budget is. Okay, Mr. Budget is a budget sheet that you write down how much money you make, and you write down all your expenses, and then at the end it shows you if you have enough money to do what you're doing. Most people don't like Mr. Budget. Because number one, they don't want to follow it and be accountable. So you got to make him your friend and not your enemy. You say, well, Pastor Evan, how do you do that? The easiest way to make Mr. Budget your friend and not your enemy is to spend less than what you make. Thank you for that 1, 2, 3 clap. Okay. Here's number two. If you have been honoring man before God, listen, this is going to be hard right here. Adjust your living so you can properly release your giving. Some people are stuck. They literally have more bills than they. I can't honor God, Pastor. I have too many bills. The problem you don't understand is God knows you would get in that mess. But he's probably the only person that can get you out. Because a raise won't do it because you already had one. Have you noticed that when you get a raise, you raise your living up to? Here's number three. This is so good right here. Treat other people's stuff like it's the Lord's stuff. Notice I didn't say like it's your stuff. Because some of us, the way we treat our stuff, ain't good. So we got to treat it like it's God's stuff. Right? So I had a friend, and I let him drive one of my cars, right? Came into town. When you have more than one car, you can do that. That's called being a blessing. So I didn't have time. Typically, I'm going to make sure the car's washed and cleaned and all that stuff. It was clean, but it was dirty because it had been raining that week, you know. And so I hadn't driven it in a minute. And, you know, when the weather changed, the tire, you know how the tires get low? So the light for the tire was on. And then to make it even worse, it didn't even have no gas in it. Now, honestly, I didn't have time. If I had time, I would have gassed it up, I would have washed it up, and I would have made sure that tire was up. But I didn't have time, honestly. So I told him up front, I said, hey, listen, I'm sorry I ain't got no gas in there. I'm sorry it's kind of dirty on the outside. And I said, you know, there's a tire light on. He said, oh, no problem, we're good. Okay, good. So he drove the car for a week. Why did I have an expectation that the tire would be tired up when I got it? Was that a wrong expectation? I mean, that's how I gave it to him, right? No. But part of me was, I just didn't have time to do it, you know? But it wasn't. That's why I say, it's not about how you treat, don't treat other people's stuff like your stuff, because you might not treat your stuff right. Because see, some of y'all might be riding around your light on right now. Look at your neighbor and say, is your light on right now? How many can be a better steward of the stuff you got? Let me see, be a better steward. Well, I'm just going to believe that God is going to bring some increase into your life when he sees your management level go up. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, there are some people here. The only way Jesus can save your soul is you got to give it to him.